Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to present your word. Lord, I pray that it would be purely you and nothing of me. Lord, I pray for divine white out to be applied to my notes of anything that is of me and not of you. Lord, I pray that you would do your good work here today, that your gospel would be preached, and that I would just be a vessel, and that it would just come through me to your people, and we would have ears to hear, and then we would have hands to act out and feet to move forward with what you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're a note taker at all, whether it is tapping with your thumbs or paper or mental notes, I'm not good at those. I have to write down everything. So, but if you are a note taker, the title of the message is Christmas in July. I know it's June 30th. Humor me. I had the note creator. I text Kirsten, who organizes the notes and puts everything on. She does a wonderful job. She makes all the graphics. She does amazing. She does it for her own business. If you need help, I know a girl. But I text her the title, and she's like, "Hey, bro, I just want to make sure I got this right. You know it's still June when you're preaching." I was like, "I know. It's going to be in my notes. You'll see." So I understand it's not July, but that's the title, Christmas in July. We have kind of organically found ourselves in a little mini-series here at the church. If you were here last week, Pastor Jody preached on the Holy Spirit. It was about he doesn't want to operate in a wildfire, but a controlled burn, and the ways that we can operate in and understand the Holy Spirit and its purposes and passions and direction better. Now, the interesting thing is Pastor Jody and I, we had talked about how we are feeling, what God wanted to speak to both of us. And I was like, well, let me listen to your message and let me see how it lines up with what God's showing me. And it was amazing because God was speaking the same things to her as he was to me. And I said, this is amazing. I'm not discouraged. I'm glad that we are hearing from God. He wants to say something here. So I said, okay, God, what is it that you want to speak differently about your Holy Spirit to the people through me the next week? And as God was preparing for it, I am super excited. And something cool that happened this morning, I was feeling like, God, is this exactly what you want? Now I'm starting to feel a little insecure. And then Pastor Jody told me when we were praying in the office, like, hey, this is something I feel like from God. It's kind of a weird analogy, but like, this is what I got. And I got goosebumps because it was exactly what God had given me for today. So I feel deeply that the Holy Spirit wants to do something this morning. So I would say prepare yourselves in expectation. Not because I write good notes, heavens knows I don't, but I want to be used by God to see something happen, and I want you all to be used by God to see something happen. Amen? Now, that being said, I love a good conspiracy theory. I do. I am a conspiracy theorist. Me and Kirsten will talk your ear off about aliens and UFOs. And I could tell you all of the videos that are real or not real. Most of them, not real, just so you know. But it's fun. I like Bigfoot. I like aliens. I like government conspiracies. You can cut that part out of the recording so the FBI doesn't follow me. But I love a good conspiracy theory. I love the imagination of it or if there's some truth behind it. But I especially love ancient conspiracy theories. Like, how did the pyramids get made? That's a fun one. There's so many new ones to me that they're new. I would bring up to my dad, I'm like, have you heard this? He's like, I was circulating back in the 80s. I'm like, I don't even know. This is crazy. How, like, the pyramids was like ancient knowledge, and there was a society that was higher in tech than we have now, or like the pyramid's not actually a tomb, it's a giant semiconductor to give a free electricity. Wild stuff that exists out there. But how it's actually built, we don't know. And that's the fun part, is trying to figure it out. The other big one is like the Library of Alexandria, when it was burnt down, all the knowledge he said that we lost, that we didn't know what was in there, and what was all the ancient knowledge that's in there. It's so much fun. We'll never know the answers, but it's just fun for me. I like having those conversations. I feel sometimes, though, that we treat the Holy Spirit like a conspiracy theory. Now follow me. We act as if it's the burnt down Library of Alexandria. that it was ancient knowledge that the apostles had in the book of Acts that we no longer have today. We don't see the miracles. We don't see the signs. We don't see the wonders. That was just something in the Bible that as time continues, for many, if we're honest with ourselves, it's just a story. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't need to anymore. We're good. We don't need to do it anymore. Now, I think many of you, before I said that, you thought you didn't think that. And now we're realizing maybe I did think that. Because we don't see it operate here and now much anymore. The miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, let's jump into our first scripture. And this is Jesus talking. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, shortly after this, in the same, well, not the same chapter, but shortly after this is the day of Pentecost. And Pastor Jody had preached on that, and I know many of you have read your Bibles and know what happens. Right, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room, and they started prophesying and praying in tongues and teaching boldly. And then after that, miracles were performed, all for the glory of God. Jesus had come to, one, forgive us of our sins, to make right relationship with him and the Father once more. But he also came to usher us into a new humanity today. He brought the future, lassoed it, and brought it to us now. That we don't have to wait for a future date, that he brought the new humanity. And the people in the book of Acts had that power. They were living in the future. So today, in many ways, we are living in the past, in the old humanity still. We have salvation. But the power of the Holy Spirit is something that we don't feel is connected to anymore. Is that a global thing, though? Is that really what's happening right now, that the Holy Spirit doesn't operate? Did you know that during all of this hardship in Gaza, I don't care your ideas about the war, it is not political. However, during one of the more recent Muslim fasts, the Muslims were having their time of fasting, and during their time of fasting for their dedication to their religion, 600 different men had a vision of Jesus, seeing him in their room talking to them, and in a mass baptism, these men made the decision to stop following Islam and to follow Jesus, who they saw with their own eyes. And they were baptized in their war-stricken, Muslim-populated community because they saw Jesus. 600, they were mass baptized together. That happened a month ago, y'all. This isn't forever ago. I have a friend, well, I have multiple friends, Pastor Jody being one of them, who has seen God do miraculous things in other countries. Talk to her about it. She is working on a book about it. I'm sorry if I just threw something out there. Better get cooking now. Many of you know my friend Micah Herbert. If you don't know him, he is one of the pastors that we are associated with in Missouri. An awesome guy, awesome man of God. Love him to death. He recently... Oh, no, my left fingers are not good enough for this. I got it now. I just needed the threat of you walking up, and it's like, I got it. So Micah recently got back from a mission trip with his 13-year-old daughter, London. They went to Thailand. And I was talking to him about, hey, what happened there? What was the experience? What did God do? And it was mind-blowing what happened in Thailand. He said between multiple different churches, through this missions organization, there was 90 missionaries that went to Thailand. They were there, I think, 2 weeks. I think around that time, give or take, they were there for 2 weeks, and there was 90 missionaries. There was 18,000 people who gave their lives to Jesus. 18,000. Micah's daughter, London, had the opportunity to present the gospel herself to a group of school children. And when she gave the gospel message, 51 children gave their lives to Jesus. In addition to these people's salvation, which is the most important thing, that God brought them in connection with them, there were 380 people who received spontaneous, miraculous healings, ranging from a stomach flu to spinal alignment and not being paralyzed anymore. There were children with crippled hands who would never use their hands, who just could use their hands. God is working now. This isn't forgotten knowledge. God is doing work. Micah told me, and this is the part, I was talking to him in my truck while I was working, and I'm glad I was in the truck because I became emotional when he told me that, because Thailand is a primarily Buddhist country. And I don't have a full grasp understanding of how Buddhism works, but he gave me a quick synopsis that they don't believe necessarily in one God, that they're open to many, but they also believe in spirits, but they don't think they have a connection to a God necessarily. I could be wrong, but this was my understanding. But this was her revelation after she received spontaneous healing, that she had a dislocated disc in her back, and then she was able to properly walk and stand up straight afterwards. And she said, I make offerings to spirits so that they won't harm me. And I know we can't talk to our gods, but I make idols for them. But I never knew there was a living God who loved me and could make me whole. A living God who loves me and makes me whole. So it's not ancient, forgotten knowledge. So why don't we see it here? It's not a when problem. It seems a little bit more like a where problem. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. If this is your first time here, I am sorry about how heavy I will be for the next couple of minutes. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. That is quite the list. And what caps it off, the very end, the cherry on top, is having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. I think that if I were the devil, one of my top priorities would be to take things that are in the image of God and make them lifeless, to be satisfied with looking like God but denying his power, to be an image without a spirit, well, that's just a statue. And that statue is a trophy of defeat for the enemy. I don't know who's familiar with the classic C.S. Lewis movie or a book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that was adapted to a movie that was fantastic. Has anyone, okay, I need to know how descriptive I need to be. Who's seen the movie? All right. I need to be quite descriptive. how about read the book? Fewer hands, okay. All right, so there's a witch. there's a mystical land called Narnia. and there's a witch in there. And there's a little boy who basically sells his soul for Turkish Delight. We've had Turkish Delight. It sucks. It's don't give your soul. Give your soul to Jesus. But if they're going to pick something else in the movie to give your soul to, it shouldn't have been Turkish Delight. Very bad. Don't recommend. Anyways, so he basically, it was symbolism for sin and gave himself to sin. And the witch, he went to the witch's castle thing, fortress. And she had a courtyard of statues that looked incredibly realistic. Come to find out, they were living beings who opposed her that she turned to stone. And they were in her courtyard as trophies of her firm grip over Narnia. They were those who served Aslan, the lion. Oh. Now, Aslan, now C.S. Lewis was a Christian. He wrote amazing books, one of which is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, the Narnia series. But you wrote Mere Christianity and the Screwtape Letters. Very, very good. Well, Aslan, who is the lion, was a symbol of Christ. And when Aslan came back, he went to the fortress that had all the statues, and he breathed on them, and they came back to life. I believe that we here are, not just in our church, but Western Christianity, we can be such statues having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And we need a breath of the Holy Spirit to wake us up. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Sardis, historically, which is the church that John is writing to by the direction of the Holy Spirit, had a reputation of having extremely impenetrable walls and being a very secure, vibrant city. However, in two different accounts, the watchman on the wall had fallen asleep because they thought that there's nothing that can happen to our city. It's deemed impenetrable. And so the watchmen became lazy and they fell asleep. On both accounts, the city was raided and thieves came in and stole a bunch of stuff. That's historical records from that city. That the people and the watchmen became complacent, became comfortable, became satisfied, became well-medicated, became well-institutionalized, became well-okay with their career, became okay with Christianity just being morality instead of a living power. They became comfortable. And at that point, they fell asleep. We are so comfortable here in Western Christianity. We have been lulled to sleep by the siren song of Western Christianity. We dream the American dream while our spirits sleep. We have no need for radical faith because we have no vision for a radical future. God is doing work where he is wanted and where people believe his power is still there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to wake us up to do something here and now. And I know I sound at risk of seeming extra Pentecostal this morning. And I got to be honest. For those of you who know me, this is a challenging message for me. This was personal conviction from the Holy Spirit that I need to change because I have been asleep in many ways. So everything I say is for me that the Spirit has been convicting me in. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something because we are a comfortable people. Not again, not just here at New Season, but if the boot fits, but it is here in America as a whole. We have no need for anything to change because we have been comfortable with what's provided. Now, Pastor Jody laid the foundation for us last week. There are important things in operating in the Holy Spirit. For those of you who don't know, there is a completely separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is the water baptism for salvation, and then there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is step one in operating in the Holy Spirit. But then there is point two, which is to live a lifestyle that the Holy Spirit can operate through. It is important that we understand that we don't want to be the sons of Siva that tried to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and they got their booties kicked because they had no right relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to be like Simon the sorcerer who tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit and he was convicted and reprimanded by Peter. So this message is not just saying, let's go out there loosey-goosey and just say, in the name of God. That's not what this message is. But I believe that we have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be doing certain things to be able to operate in it. But the message today is about our faith waking up, to believe he can do what he says he can do. I think right now we are every adult in every Christmas movie ever.
There's just no more Christmas spirit anymore.
Why, okay, personal beef with Santa Claus. Why is every Christmas movie he has ever been in, he needs help saving Christmas? He's done it for thousands of years. Why does he need a four-year-old little boy to help his sleigh? Figure it out! That's just personal beef I've had with Santa Claus movies for a long time. But really, that's what we are, like, there's no belief in our heart that he, well, that happened before. We don't need it now. But Christianity is not supposed to be another set of moral guidelines and ethics for people to choose from. We're supposed to be markedly different because of the authority of Jesus Christ displayed by his Spirit on earth. We have been okay with Christianity just being merely our morality. The world will not believe us if we're just another thing to pick and choose from for their ethics. Because, frankly, we have ethics. The world says, ooh, brother, ooh. Only people who are 25 or under got that. Oh, you got that, Pastor Jody? Okay, good, 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 good. Or people on TikTok got that. We're supposed to be different. Because we're supposed to be the ones having a loving God, a living Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Elijah in the Old Testament, when he was up against the prophets of Baal, they could not recreate the things that only the power of God had. And the sorcerers who came against Moses could not recreate the things that the power of God had. And the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. And Jesus said, greater things than I've done will you do. And that's not for personal glory or a growing ministry or financial gain, but that is so that the kingdom of heaven can advance and people can be saved. Jesus himself said, people who just desire signs and wonders are a distraction from what he really wants to do. And he wouldn't perform miracles in front of those just wanting miracles. This is not just saying we need miracles for miracles' sake. It's so the kingdom of heaven can advance. But he wants to do that today so that people could say, look what God has done. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Maybe. Okay, sweet. When he had entered Capernaum, being Jesus, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. To my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown in the outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. How wonderful would it be to have faith that even Jesus marvels at? Unwavering faith. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit and we have right relationship with Jesus, the next and most important ingredient is our faith. And I think that's what I want to focus on from here on out, that we need a growing in our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Keeping you on your toes, Jesse. I'm sorry, I got a lot of scripture today. "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, I got to be honest. The reason this was such a convicting thing that the Lord was speaking to me is because this kind of faith feels awkward and silly. No? If you really think about it, I think you'll feel the same. And I think that's why we don't operate it today. Because nobody wants to be a kooky Christian. We have become fine with our morality and ethics within the church. And not to say we don't love Jesus with our whole heart. I hope you don't hear what I'm not saying. That you can have an outstanding closeness with Jesus without operating in the Holy Spirit in that way. But if it comes to a point that we are not operating it because we don't believe it, that's where we're in trouble. And I think many of us, without perhaps even knowing it, that we didn't believe it. I think it's being called into reality right now. It's an awkward and silly feeling faith. But you know who doesn't feel awkward or silly believing in big things? Luke 18, 16 through 17. "But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." If we want to operate in the Spirit, we need to have a faith like a child. Believing in the big things that adults say you don't believe in anymore.
There's no Christmas spirit anymore.
Limitations are learned by stingy adults who didn't get to see their faith acted either. There is a reason that Jesus says that we must be born again, both for the purification of our spirit to be made clean and holy before him again, but so that we can unlearn all the limitations that we have experienced here on earth. Because we are not in the old creation. We are in the new creation. And we therefore need to be a new creation that has wondrous faith again. I think what we need is some Christmas in July. Now, has anyone, if you didn't see Narnia, I don't know how many hands I'm going to get for this. But has anyone seen Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July claymation? My man, you have seen, okay, yeah. I was looking this up. I wanted to have an image for it, and at first I was like, is this a Mandela effect? Another conspiracy theory? Full circle? Or was it a fever dream? I was like, I can't find images of this anywhere. It had to have been the animation studio who did like all of the, like the Heat Miser, Cold Miser, and the Year Without a Santa Claus, which I think that was the same one, and like Rudolph and all those. It had to be the last money grab for them of like, let's just win one more before the studio shuts us down. And the, and it, of course, I think it came out in July. They're like, that's what, we're not going to make it to next Christmas. Just roll something out. Play the classics. It was Rudolph and Frosty. It wasn't even Santa Claus. But they had Christmas in July. And it was this whole thing about like revitalizing the Christmas spirit. And I think that's the kind of faith we need to see renewed within us, to have childlike faith. Now, I'm going to drop a little bit of a bomb here. We don't let our children personally believe in Santa Claus at all. The reason being, and this is to your own, you do what you want to do. I don't fault you for it. Our reasoning is because when they find out that that is not the case, I don't want them to be like, what the heck, Dad? Santa's not real? Well, is this Jesus guy real then? Is what about God? I want them to know that I never lied to you, but I want you to believe still in wondrous things. Never to be lied to, and less about believing in Santa Claus. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Come on, I was so proud of that one. I couldn't wait for all the cringing. Yeah. But that's what we need. We need our children to believe in wondrous things, and we need to do better at teaching those things. But for ourselves, we need to revitalize that faith, and we need to undo and unpack a lot of things that made us not believe in what the Spirit could do, or maybe not do through us. Because if you are someone of faith, He wants to use you. And it's not everybody you have to put your hands on and just like, cancer falls off, like Pastor Jody is seeing. And it's not saying people need to come back to life, but people need to see a faith in you that says that that's not just about ethics. There is a living God, and there is a living Jesus, and there is a power in that that is undeniable. And that's what people need to see. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a very famous but misquoted scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me in this version. This is such a misused scripture. And I personally misused it. I remember my parents got me a skateboard when I was 12. And there was a guy who printed like sticker graphics at the church we were going to at the time. And I was like, I asked him to print that scripture off so I can put them on the bottom of my skateboard. So I can be like, I can do tricks. God can strengthen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never did one trick. Had that. I don't even think I could ride the skateboard. I am not a balanced person at all. Yeah, you don't even, yeah. You guys bought it for me. I think I sold it to Taylor Strickland for like $20. He did not strengthen me to do what I wanted. But this scripture is about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look at the larger context of that scripture, it is doing the works that He has designated for us to do and go through the trials that He has designated for us to go through. It is doing the works of the Spirit that He empowers us to do. It's for His name's sake. So, I've addressed the issue with mine and perhaps some of yours hearts, and addressed that the solution, I think, is to have faith. I believe, I'm convicted in my heart. The problem, how we can address it. But here are four practical steps, I think, that we can apply. Say, okay, where's the takeaway? I need faith. How do we grow this? How do we grow childlike faith? What's the thing we can take home from here to do? And number one, start somewhere. Build your faith. The faith of a mustard seed is all that Jesus said that we need, which I wish we knew how to quantify that. What is the faith of a mustard seed? And how much do I actually have? Do I have an atom of seed? Of atom of faith? I don't know. But if I know that it just takes a mustard seed of faith to see him do work, just start somewhere. Believing with your whole heart, but start somewhere. I remember, I'll never forget, when we went on a mission trip to Peru, we were asked to activate our faith in the same way. And I remember some of us guys decided that we were going to bless the girls with a box of like chocolate bars. I don't remember when in the market and there's some chocolate bars because there's two different rooms in this tiny little house thing that we had to bathe in a bucket and there's no roof and there's dirt floors. So maybe a house. I don't know what it was. But there was two separated curtains for the guys and the girls. And so the girls were having time praying. They didn't know it and brought some chocolate bars into them. And the whole room, do you remember this, Pastor Jody? No, the whole room freaked out. We're like, whoa, you love Hershey's. Whoa, crazy. Apparently one of the girls, it was, do you remember Esther? Okay. So vivid to me because I remember this because she had prayed. She was asked to activate her faith like, I just really miss chocolate. God, could I please have some chocolate? And then we walked in with chocolate. And God cared for that little thing for her. Not because he's supposed to address our every little whim, but he saw, I see faith, and I want to grow your faith. And here's a little treat for you to say, hey, well done growing your faith. Use it to do bigger things now. So start somewhere. It could be so small, but believe with your whole heart that he is a good God who loves you and wants to see your faith grow. So that's one, start somewhere. Two, surround yourself in belief. Sub point, if you're taking notes, I wrote down, decorate for Christmas. Well, our house loves decorating for Christmas. I love Christmas. It's so much fun. And I love all the stuff. I love the tree. I love all the lights. It's awesome. Because you just feel certain joy when it's all up, right? My favorite Christmas decoration, my wife knows. What is it, hon? French bulldog. I got this little porcelain French bulldog with golden antlers. She hates it. I love it. I love proudly displaying my little French bulldog porcelain guy. But surround yourself with motivation and belief. Put yourself in a community that wants to instill that in you. No Debbie Downers. No people are going to be like, God doesn't do that anymore. Or even people who don't even believe. But put motivation and put belief before you and around you and inside of you by pursuing God's word and looking at and addressing the unbelief in your own heart and pushing that out and putting belief in by surrounding yourself with worship and with God's word and a community of faith. So one, start somewhere. Two, surround yourself in belief. And three, childlike, not childish. Childlike, not childish. It is not childish to believe in something grand and wonderful can happen through God's Spirit. And I agree and understand that there are people who have been very hurt, who don't even want to think about being childlike because the inner child has been damaged. And there is trauma and there is hurt. Like, I believe that my parents were going to stay together, but they didn't. And I believe this person was going to give their life to the Lord before they died, and they didn't. And I believe that this person was going to make it through, and then they died. So no, he doesn't do it anymore. And I'm sorry that that happened to you. But he is still a good God who does good things. And I believe he wants to heal that inner child so that it can have faith again. Allow yourself to have faith in a good God. And number four, and if you could all stand with me for this final point. Final step is activate now. I feel like it would be foolish of me and hypocritical to preach on the word believing in faith for the Holy Spirit to do works if I didn't give us an opportunity to see God do it now. So three things, if you find yourself in one of these categories, I would like us to just have a moment with God and be bold in your faith. Don't just stay in your seat for it. But if you could please come up front so that we can pray for you. If you find yourself in these three categories, that you say, I have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've received water baptism, and I know I'm doing right by God, but I didn't even know. There's this whole other aspect of my faith I didn't even know existed, and I want to receive that right now. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come forward. Two, if you want healing for that emotional inner child so that you can find yourself having that faith again, and you want to see that restored and made well, please come forward. And number three, if you need physical healing in something, no matter how big or how small. In Thailand, it was as small as a stomach flu, and it was big as being no longer paralyzed. But if you have faith that God can do it, I want to have faith with you that He can do it. So right now, God, I pray that as people find themselves in those categories, as they come forward, Lord, I pray that you would do a wondrous work. Lord, I want to have faith. I want to have Christmas in July. I want to believe you can do those things again. Lord, thank you for convicting me as you prepared me for this message to hear you say that again. Lord, I pray that you would do a good work in your church today, not that man could boast, not that we can say we receive something, but so that you would be glorified and the kingdom would be advanced and people would see and know and believe again that there is a good God, there is a living Jesus, and there is power in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, if you find yourself there, please come forward and we'll have a time of prayer. And after we will conclude and we can go have some cookies. But again, if you feel yourself there, please come forward right now.